Succession number 26756, Reel 3.
Sir Geoffrey Chandler, Reel 3. Yes, the Varkezar Agreement.
The Varkezar Agreement, which ended the fighting between the British and Greeks on the one side and Iam Elas on the other, was really a model of liberalism and moderation. The trouble was, from the moment of its signing, neither side respected its provisions. So, and I'm afraid I cannot remember the details now, but they are recorded in what I wrote in my book. Had Varkezar been observed by both sides, then I think we would still have had the odd communist band still armed in the hills and being a communist rebellion, we would not have had civil war. Because the failure to observe Varkezar by the right meant there was gross discrimination against the left, and anyone suspected of left-wing tendencies or association with A.M. Alas in the past, which increasingly pushed back those who would be liberals in the centre to the left. So, as I've said earlier, we had the beginnings of civil war as opposed to an isolated communist-led rebellion.
One of the provisions, I think, was to do with disarmament of sides. I believe you saw something of,
yes,
of that yourself. Could you
just in January 45, Elas agreed a specific number of arms was designated to be surrendered by Elas. They surrendered them, though there was clearly many more over, but the ones they were asked to surrender, they did surrender. I went down to the Peloponnese to help in that process, and remember going and recollecting these arms, which was a very dispiriting thing to do, you know, to take a man's pistol or rifle away, and these are proud people, is not a particular popular thing to do. But I was party to, I was one of the people involved in doing this.
Was it effective? Did people seem happy to, prepared to part with the weapons?
No, I don't think they were, because, you know, a weapon is a weapon is a weapon. It makes a man. And also, they were politically defeated to this extent. You know, they a genuine left-winger thought that what had happened was against their own beliefs. It removed a lot of arms from the scene, but there were still a lot of arms left, and there were armed bands or buried arms still in the mountains.
You mentioned a moment ago about the reporting and that some reports were diluted. Again, I think you had some experience of that.
Well, this came later. Let us say early 1946. Is that all right to get to 46?
Yes, yes.
Okay. I mean, 45 really saw the re-establishment of law and order and greater stability throughout the country. But increasingly in 45, you got the backlash of the right wing, who had been persecuted, killed by the left. It was the backlash of the right against the left. And by early 46, one really began to see the dangers of this. There were gross examples of discrimination by the right against the left. There were there was a convicted murderer with a price on his head, Kalabalikis in the Volos area, who was totally free in the Jean. I found him drinking in a taverna, and the security officer of the gendarmerie was also there, but no way could they catch him when they went out to catch him. There were gross examples of false imprisonment and so on, and I would report these things specifically to the Consul General. But they got from the Consul General to the Athens Embassy, and then were sent to the Foreign Office. These reports have been greatly diluted to the effect there is an impression that there is discrimination against the left. Whereas in fact, there was very real discrimination of the worst kind, which meant, again, I would say that what would have only been a rebellion was in the process of becoming a civil war. It was sexing down.
Just to jump back a moment, after you were in Thessaly,
Thessaly,
you returned to Macedonia.
Correct.
How did the area change? You'd been away for perhaps 6 months, maybe.
Something like that. Can't remember. Oh, the situation was worse. It was accelerating. There was evidence of... One of my troubles is, Roderick, that you're having... I do believe in great precision in how one describes these things, and I tried to describe it with accuracy and objectivity in my book, and now I'm afraid I may be giving a false impression of what I feel, and my memory may not be as clear. Things had deteriorated. There's no question that the situation was worsening. There were armed bands operating to a far greater degree. There was a period in the middle of 1946 when increasingly roads were being cut off by armed bands. So there was no question that the situation was getting worse. And Macedonia was clearly the seedbed of civil war, which was simply not perceived in Athens.
And then elections were announced, though, I believe.
That is correct. Elections, I think, were in March 46, and the plebiscite was in September 46. The elections, I was on leave in England for the elections. The AMFOD, the Allied Mission for the Observing the Greek Elections, said that on the whole they were fair. The extreme left abstained, and I think something like 9% abstention was assumed by AMFOD. But even if one says that was, you know, too small by half, there is no question that the elections reflected probably the will of the Greek people at that time, because people were more frightened of communism than of anything else, apart from those who were adherents of communism. The plebiscite, I felt very strongly, should be postponed. It seemed to me that Greece is not naturally royalist or necessarily naturally republican. But if there was a plebiscite about the return of the king as early as September, the state of the public mind, the security on the ground, would be five. And this is Veria, yes.
Yes, yeah, so in Veria in the summer, autumn of 45,
yep.
The right were increasingly engaged in suppression and the exclusion and isolation of
that is correct.
The left.
The exclusion of the left. I mean, the army was being reconstituted and the different age groups were being called up. But in the calling up of the age groups, anyone suspected of left-wing tendencies was excluded because they had weak chests or whatever other pretext that might be found. And 143 Battalion, which was the National Guard in the area, was almost exclusively right-wing. And was one of the forces of oppression of the left and was almost totally out of order. Again, I have recorded, but I can't remember the specific things they did. But I mean, I was very much there, and we complained to higher levels of the Greek authority, and they were in some degree curbed. But nonetheless, I mean, the left were simply excluded from call-up, which they should have they should have been a national army, to which everyone was brought in.
And was there a hope at this point among the left for greater British support?
We were always we were asked for support. I mean, everyone asked for our support. I mean, when the left weren't asking for us to leave the country, they were asking us to protect them. And we did. And the only place you could read a left-wing newspaper was in our reading rooms. British troops, and there was an Indian brigade up there, stopped left-wing speakers being assaulted by right-wing crowds. And we tried to hold the ring, and in some degree we did hold the ring. But, I mean, it was on such a small scale. And the great sweeping... And it was a backlash. I mean, there was... The things that people, particularly in Macedonia, where Elas and Eyam had been predominant for the latter part of the... for a long part of the occupation... People had many things against which they wished to revenge themselves. So this was a backlash. I mean, it was inexcusable, but it was understandable.